let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'm redeemed, pray the Lord. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'm redeemed, pray the Lord.
Let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'm redeemed, pray the Lord.
What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve.
Angels bow before him, heaven and earth adore him.
What a mighty God we serve. God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him, heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him, heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve.
How great is our God? How great is his name? He's the greatest one, forever the same. He rolled back the waters of the mighty Red Sea. Your trust in me. How great is our God? How great is his name? He's the greatest one, forever the same. He rolled back the waters of the mighty Red Sea. Put your trust in me.
One more time.
How great is our God?
You're the greatest one.
How great is his name?
Name above all names.
He's the greatest one, forever the same. He rolled back the waters of the mighty Red Sea. Trust in me.
Father, we thank you today that we can trust in you, Lord, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. The God of Moses and the God of Israelites is our God today. And we thank you, Lord, that you still move heaven and earth for your children. Now, Lord, today, if there is any discouraged, we pray, Lord, that they would be encouraged in you. Lord, that you would do something for them today. Show yourself strong on their behalf. And Lord, we dedicate this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing his mercy and his grace.
In the mansion bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be.
While we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow.
victory. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of given glory will the toils of life repay. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. For us, soon His beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open. We shall tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of the chasing that will be. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
Christmas song, and she loves it, so it's for her.
Underneath the stars, just a simple man and wife somewhere in the dark. His words cut the silent night. Take my hand, for the child that you carry is God's own. And though it seems the road is long, we are not that far from Bethlehem, where all our hope and joy began. For in our arms we'll cherish him. We're not that far from Bethlehem. Child ever drawn, ever close to the only love that lasts. And though 2,000 years have passed, we're not that far from Bethlehem, where all our hope and joy began. For when our to cry out to you, but
to let me hear your voice calling me. I'm forever grateful to you. I'm forever grateful for the cross. I'm forever grateful to you that you came to seek and save us. I'm forever grateful to you. I'm forever grateful for the cross. I'm forever grateful to you that you came to seek and save us. We are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. Let us praise Jesus now. We are standing in His presence on holy ground. We are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. Let us praise Jesus now. We are standing in His presence on holy ground.
Let's praise Him. Lord, we do praise you today. You are worthy of praise. Lord, this is holy ground because you are here. Your presence is here. You inhabit the praises of your people. Oh, Lord Jesus, we thank you today that you are present, that you are Emmanuel, that you are God with us. Lord, we thank you. Hallelujah, Lord. You surround us with your love and with your presence. Lord, with your hosts. Praise you now, both now and always.
There.
Morning Star. All hail King Jesus. All hail King Jesus. Emmanuel, God with us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. How long will we have to sing his praises and to reign with him? Throughout eternity. Praise the Lord. I have an important message to bring to you this morning. I'm going to put the verses up on the overhead, or also you may follow along in your Bible, whichever you would like. But Ephesians chapter 4 is where we're starting. I actually have three passages, so I thought it might be easier to work with the transparency today. But if you'd like to open your Bibles, you may do that. Ephesians chapter 4, first of all, 26 and 27. We're going to talk today about conquering satanic strongholds. And I believe this is an important message because more and more people in this day and age in which we live are surrendering ground to the enemy. We want to conquer Satan's strongholds in your life today. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26 and 27. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. That is the key verse this morning, verse 27. Neither give place to the devil. And then verses 31 through 32. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And then Matthew chapter 12, verses 43 through 35, through 45. Matthew chapter 12, verses 43 through 45. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. I'd like us to read together 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 4. Could we read that together? For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Father, we ask your blessing upon the word today. We pray, Lord, that we would be able to tear down and to conquer strongholds and Satan's strongholds that he would like to set up in our life. Lord, we're not ignorant of his devices and of his ways. And so today, Lord, we pray that you would help us to understand the truth that he might not gain an advantage over anyone here, that everyone would be totally and completely free in Jesus Christ, for whom the Son sets free is free indeed. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. The account in Matthew chapter 12 about the unclean spirit is a true story that Jesus used to describe the attitude of the nation of Israel. They had cleaned out the idolatry, but they had not replaced it with sincerity, obedience, love, etc. The word stronghold occurs 19 times in the Bible. 18 times it occurs in the Old Testament. The first time it's mentioned is in Numbers chapter 13 and verse 19. It says, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds. This verse has to do with the sending out of the 12 spies who were to go and spy out the land of Canaan. Part of the instruction given to the 12 spies was to find out if the people in the land lived in tents or strongholds. Tents, of course, would be easy to overtake. But strongholds, which were fortified cities and walled cities and strong gates, of course, that would be much more difficult to overcome. When David was in the wilderness fleeing from Saul, trying to spare his life, he found strongholds that he stayed in. 18 times the word stronghold is used in the Old Testament. Only one time is it used in the New Testament, and it's in the context of spiritual warfare. A stronghold of Satan would be an area that he has built up that is difficult to take down. Let me repeat that. A stronghold of Satan is an area that he has built up that is difficult to tear down. But thanks be to God, they can be torn down. We are given mighty weapons to tear down these strongholds. How many of you have ever visited a fort? You ever been to a fort? Quite a few of you. One of our nation's most famous forts is Fort McHenry. That was the fort that withheld the bombardment from English ships in our battle for independence. This is the fort that Francis Scott Key was watching while he wrote the Star-Spangled Banner. That fort was able to withstand a powerful assault that night. The most powerful assault the British Army could throw at that fort, it was able to withstand. It was a stronghold. Satan is a builder of strongholds in the spiritual realm. There are people today, probably people here, who have a stronghold of some sort that Satan has built in your life. But in order for us to go in and to tear down that stronghold that Satan has built in your life, we have to first understand who Satan is and who the unclean spirit is that was being talked about in the passage in Matthew 12. So first of all, today we're going to look at the home of the enemy. Point one, the home of the enemy. Satan's and the devil's past home is what we will consider first. Satan is our adversary who was once named Lucifer. The name Lucifer means the light bearer. Satan was the light bearer. He might have been an archangel, you know, right up there with Michael and Gabriel. He was an anointed cherub. He made beautiful music. It says in Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 11, "The pomp is brought down to the grave and the noise of thy vials." From that word vial, we get our word violin. Satan made the music of a violin. But that's not all. It says in Ezekiel chapter 28 and verse 13, "The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created." Tabrets and our percussion instruments, and pipes referred to wind instruments. Satan was like an orchestra himself. From him, from this created being, came all kinds of music, an orchestra himself. He was a musical being. That's what his being was made up. He was made up of music. Now, it makes sense then that he would pervert music today. Satan, as this master musician, once lived in heaven. And I want you to understand today that the devil is real. I don't care what you've been told. The devil is a real being. He is a real being with a personality, and he deceived other angels into falling and going along with him in his rebelling against God. He led one-third of the angels in a time of sin and rebellion against God. In Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9, it says, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." So Satan and his angels were cast out of heaven. Where did they go? Where did they go? Where are they today? They are looking for a place to reside. Spirits are disembodied beings looking for a place to inhabit. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 27 says, neither give place to the devil. The word translated place means room. Paul was saying, don't give Satan a room, an area of control, a foothold, a jurisdiction. Don't give him ground. Don't give him opportunity in your life. That same Greek word that is translated place is translated five times as room. Don't give Satan a room. Don't give him room in your life. Why? Because he wants to take that room and he wants to fortify it and he wants to turn it into a stronghold. Again, I want you to notice Matthew 12, verses 43 and through 45. Let me put it back up here for you. Because I'm going to ask you a couple questions here. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first, even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. Notice there that an unclean spirit left a man. We don't know why that he left. Maybe the person got his life together. He started doing some things that the evil spirit didn't like. Maybe Jesus came along one day and cast the evil spirit out of that man. We don't know why he left, but he left. What did the Spirit do? He began to walk through dry places. When he left the man, he began to walk through dry areas, dry places. The word places is the same word as in Ephesians 4:27. Neither give place to the devil. So this evil spirit left this man, was looking for a new place. The same word is also used in Luke 9:12. Where it says, and when the day began to wear away, then came the 12 and said unto him, Jesus, send the multitude away, that they may go into towns in the country round about and lodge and get victuals, for we are here in a desert place. There is that same word again, place. See, the demon walked through dry places. What was he seeking? Rest. He was trying to find rest, seeking for rest, and he didn't find it. He found the desert instead. And then he went back to the man. When he got back to the man, he found that the man had cleaned up his life. In reality, what happened, the man got an empty religion with ritual and no reality. And so this man was worse off than before. You know, I want you to know today that if people have religion, but if it's a false religion, there's no reality, they're as bad off, maybe worse than they were in the world. They are deceived into hopelessness. This man got religion with ritual and no reality. The Spirit said, wow, I think I found my place. And he went and he got seven other spirits, the Bible says, more wicked than himself. And then they all came back and they moved into the man. The home demons desire. Their home was heaven. This is still the home for God's angels. God's angels live in heaven. They are displaced to the earth when they are given a job to do for God, and then when they finish that job, they go back to heaven. The future home of demons is given to us in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. The future home is hell. I want you to understand today that Jesus did not prepare hell for people. He prepared it for the devil and his angels. But those that follow the devil, they're going to wind up going there. But this place is so bad that the demons don't want to go there. They know what it's like and they don't want to go there. Their future home is hell. Their past home was heaven. Where is their home now? Demons live in or with people. One day, Jesus cast a legion of demons out of a man. The unclean spirit begged Jesus not to send them into the deep, which is a reference to hell. They said, "Are you here to judge us before the time?" They knew that they would be judged. They knew they were going to hell someday. They knew they were going to a place of torment. And they asked him if he was going to torment them before that time. And then they asked permission. They said, "Would you allow us to go into the herd of swine over there?" You see, the demons would rather live in hogs than in hell. Nobody in their right mind would ever want to go to hell. If you really knew how bad hell was, you would never want to go there. The devils, they know what hell is like. They don't want to go there. They would do anything that they could to avoid. For them, it's too late. For you, it's not. Nobody would want to go to hell if we knew what the demons know about hell. Some of you are probably wondering today, does Pastor think Christians can be demon-possessed? So we will answer that question and get it out of the way so you won't have to sit there and wonder about it. All right? No, I do not believe that Christians can be demon-possessed. Speaking from a scriptural point, doctrinally, I believe that Christians cannot be possessed, but they can be oppressed. Not possessed, but oppressed doctrinally. Practically, it seems to make little difference at times. The oppression can be so strong and so severe. Demons desire to take over a person's life. I want you to understand today that the book of Ephesians was written to Christians. You read that book, you see it's written to Christians. It is our manual on spiritual warfare. And yet, in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 27, Paul said to the Christians, "Neither give place to the devil." Don't give room to the devil. Don't give the devil a foothold in your life. Don't give him an opportunity. Don't give him jurisdiction. If we couldn't do that, he never would have told us not to allow it to happen. It can happen. We see all kinds of bizarre things today happening in the world, even among Christians. Demons desire to take over a person's life. Well, how do demons move in? Some people think this is the way demons get in. Have you ever had any guests stay overnight at your house? And they come to your house and you open your house up to them and you say, "Let me show you around. Now here is the living room. And over here is the fireside room, the fireplace. You could just make yourself at home and turn on that fireplace anytime you want. There's some books over there. Why don't you go grab a book and crawl up on a chair here or the couch here and turn the fireplace on and relax." And you continue to show them and you say, "This is your bedroom. This is the place that you will be staying." You show them where the essential areas are, the bathroom, and then you take them into the kitchen and you open your cupboards and you open your refrigerator and you say, "I want you to feel at home. I just want you to be at home. Help yourself to anything that you want. If you get hungry, you just open the refrigerator or open the cupboards and you just take out a snack. You make yourself at home." Some people think that's what you have to do to get Satan to enter into your life. Believe it or not, there are some people who pray and ask Satan to take over their lives. In the church where I grew up, we had a satanic high priest, an ex-satanic high priest. Praise God, God's grace was able to reach that man and to save even a satanic high priest. There are people that worship Satan openly, knowing who he is, they worship him. In reality, there are all kinds of ways to get Satan involved in your life. Occult practices, calling or going to a psychic. You know, their power has to come from someplace. It doesn't come from God, and there are only two sources of power, so where do they get their power? They get it from the devil. Watching horror movies, playing games such as Dungeons and Dragons, listening to that rock music. Do you ever listen to the words of some of that stuff? It is satanic as can be. There are all kinds of things that you can do, and you are inviting Satan to come into your life. You're giving him room. You're giving him an opportunity to oppress you. Most of the time, Satan gets around, however, and he gets around people, he does it without them even knowing it. You don't have to open up the door and say, Satan, here is your room, have at it. Satan is deceitful. He doesn't knock at the door and say, hi, I'm Lucifer, let me in. He sneaks up on you when you are not aware, and then he slips in. Everyone here has given ground, whether you know it or not. Everybody here, myself included, I've given ground from time to time to Satan without even knowing it. And I would say that's true of every single one of you. How do we do this? How do we give ground to Satan? How do we give him room? Number one, through anger and related sins. The context of Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 27 is anger and sins related to anger. Now, before you get mad at me, get angry with me, which would give Satan a stronghold in your life, these verses were not connected by me, but by God. Somebody will say, well, Jesus got angry. Yes, and Jesus walked into the wilderness right in the middle of Satan's temptations. Jesus could do that. You and I cannot. Instead, we are to watch and pray that we enter not into temptation. Psalm 37 and verse 8 says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Anger is internal. Wrath is the outward display of it. You know that anger, when we're angry, it causes our children to get bitter. And then Satan gets both of us. He has a stronghold in our life and in the lives of our children. Bitterness. Anger and related sins. Bitterness. People who are angry, who have anger and don't deal with it before the sun goes down. Don't let the sun go down in your wrath. But people who are angry and don't deal with that anger before the sun goes down allows their anger to turn into bitterness. Now, if you're here today and you can justify your anger, you are justifying giving Satan a room. 2 Corinthians 10 and 11 says, to whom he forgave anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgive I it in the person of Christ, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Strife. Ungrateful spirit. Jealousy. After David slew Goliath, the army came home to women singing and dancing in the streets. The first verse of the song, Saul loved it. Saul has killed his thousands. Oh, this is a great song. I just love this song. And then they sang the second stanza. David has slain his 10,000s. All of a sudden, Saul doesn't like the song anymore. And jealousy begins to creep up. David has killed his 10,000s. The green-eyed monster of envy and jealousy rose in Saul's heart. And the Bible says, from that day on, Saul eyed David. Saul eyed David. Who are you eyeing? Who does something better than you do? Who has something that you want? Are you jealous? Do you envy others? Envy is the desire to have what others have. Jealousy is the fear of being replaced. And in the very next verse, in 1 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 10, it says, and it came to pass on the morrow. This is so important. I want you to see this. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul. Tomorrow, the next day, what happened was Saul allowed himself to be jealous. He let the sun go down on his jealousy. He didn't deal with the jealousy. And the very next day, God allowed an evil spirit to go and oppress Saul. Why? Because Satan had a right to that place. Saul gave him room. He gave him an opportunity. He gave him a foothold. It was like he gave an area of jurisdiction over to Satan. I would just beg with you today, don't let the sun go down on any of these things that we're talking about this morning. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't let the sun go down on your jealousy. Don't let the sun go down on any of those things that are mentioned in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 27. I don't want you to give place to the devil through anger and related sins. Number two, through rebellion and its related sins. Related to rebellion is stubbornness, disobedience, and the like. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. You know that that truth was given to Saul? Saul was an adult. I've heard so many people imply that only children and teenagers can be rebellious. That's not true. Adults can be rebellious as well. And rebels are confused. They think that they are the ones in control, but in reality, they are out of control and Satan is running their life. You know that little children can be rebellious and give place to Satan? In Mark chapter 9, verse 21, Jesus asked his father, "How long is it ago since this came unto him?" And he said, "Of a child." Through anger and its related sins. Number two, through rebellion and its related sins. Number three, through pride. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 6, "Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride he fall into the condemnation of the devil." Pride can cause us to fall into the condemnation of the devil. Pride is giving room to the devil. Pride is accepting personal credit for what others have achieved in me and through me. Pride is overestimating my importance. Pride is thinking that I am better than others. Pride brings contention. Proverbs 13:10, only by pride comes contention. Number three in your outline today, horror of a satanic takeover. The horror of a satanic takeover. I want to picture the horror of a satanic takeover for you today. First of all, picture this entire platform as a person's soul. You do that? Picture this as a soul. The soul is the area that Satan is fighting for. And you know what? Satan just wants one little spot. Just one spot on this platform. Just one spot on your soul. Why? Because he knows that if he can get in, if he can get the one spot, he can build a stronghold. And from that stronghold, he'll be able to operate and get more rooms, more place in your soul. But to begin with, he tells you, he doesn't even tell you, he just wants one little spot. He'll slip in any way he can to get one little spot. That's why Satan will settle for a little ground at first, because it's a way in, and then when he's in, he wants a lot more. And once he takes the ground, he builds a stronghold. In World War II, we would occasionally send a soldier behind enemy lines. He would parachute in the middle of the night, and then he would find a place to hide. He would hide there through the night. He would have a map, and he would find the enemy's ammunition plants as he went out and scouted. And he would find places and buildings that were important to the enemy. Well, why did he come down and just take that little ground? Because he wanted to use it as a hiding place. He wanted to use it as a stronghold, a base of operations, so that he could do more. Would the 12 men that I asked to come and help me today, would you please come and stand on the platform? Okay, I'm just going to share with you some ways that we give room to Satan. Okay? Through anger, through bitterness. And remember, if we let the sun go down on our wrath, it turns into bitterness. Through ungratefulness. When we are bitter, angry and bitter, we're not grateful. And then lust. And then pride. And then rebellion. And then stubbornness. And then jealousy. And then strife. Strife goes with jealousy, goes with envy. And then confusion. Where envy and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. And then fear and depression. Those are a number of ways that we give ground to Satan. Remember, this platform is a picture of what? The soul. Here you have a picture of a satanic takeover. Can a person have all of these things and still be a Christian? Yes. But who is ruling that person's life? Is that person really in control of their own life? No, they're not. They have surrendered room to Satan. They have given Satan opportunity. He came in just with one of these things at first. He built a stronghold there, and from that stronghold, from that base of operations, he went out and he caused all of these other things to happen in a person's life. Is this person free? No, this person is not free. And you know what happens? We know that when these things begin to happen in a person's life, one right after another, Satan has come in and Satan has built strongholds. Areas that are tough and difficult to pull down. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are mighty through God to the pulling down of these strongholds. God wants to do away with those strongholds. I'll give you three ways that you can overcome these strongholds. First of all, I would say don't even let one of these enter your life. Today, if you look at this and you see this list, or there's something else in your life, you know that it's in your heart, you know that it's in your life, get rid of it before the sun goes down today. Don't let the sun go down on anything on this platform this morning. It can only be one thing, but that could lead to something else. It could lead to more and more and more. Or maybe you're here today and you see yourself bound with many of these things in your life. You can be set free. First step is to ask for forgiveness. Ask God to forgive you. You say, well, it was only a little bit of pride. Well, that's all Satan needs. And you know what? We need to start confessing these things as sin. Well, I was just a little bit angry. You need to see it as sin. Confess it. Agree with God that sin is sin. That's what confession is. I am agreeing with God that if I'm jealous, that jealousy is sin. So ask God to forgive you. The second step is very, very important. Most people stop just by asking God to forgive them. But the second step is very essential. The second step is to ask God to take back the ground that you surrendered. Because He might forgive you, but what happens? The stronghold is still there. And isn't that what warfare is all about? It's about gaining ground. And so you have to ask God in the name and through the blood of Jesus to take back the ground that you surrendered. And at first you might just have to say that as a general thing, but as you go on, God will reveal things in your life and times and activities where you actually surrendered the ground. Then you need to go back to those times in your prayer and say, God, at that time I surrendered ground. Would you take back the ground that I surrendered to the enemy? In the name and through the blood of Jesus Christ. And the third thing is to ask God to build towers of truth in place of the strongholds. You see, you need to practice replacement theology. It's not enough just to get rid of a bad habit. You need to replace that bad habit with a good habit. If you give up a certain kind of music, you need to replace it with godly music, with good music. You just don't give it up. You replace it. Practice replacement theology. Turn your papers around, guys. Anger goes to meekness. Bitterness is changed into a forgiving spirit. Ungratefulness is turned into a grateful spirit. Now that I'm forgiving, I can be grateful. Look what God has done for me in forgiving me. I'm so grateful for the cross. Lust turns into purity. Virtue. Moral purity in my life as I obey God's word. Pride becomes a humble spirit. Blessed are the poor. Blessed are the humble. Blessed are the bankrupt in spirit. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Rebellion turns into an obedient spirit. I'm not sure what yours was. Stubbornness turns into a servant spirit. I'm no longer concerned about myself. But now, how can I serve others? How can I bless others and minister to them? Praise comes from, is the opposite of jealousy. I no longer fear being replaced, so I can praise God and give thanks in everything. Envy or strife, peace. Instead of having strife, there is peace. Instead of confusion, there's a sound mind. Instead of having fear, there's perfect love. Perfect love casts out all fear. And instead of having depression, we can have a joyful spirit unto the Lord. Do you know how many people today are depressed? It is one of the new challenges that face our generation. And I wonder just how many times a person is depressed because they have given ground to Satan, and Satan has moved in, and with his tormentors, he has brought depression. We need to have learned how to have joy, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. And joy is not the absence of trouble, but it's the presence of Christ in our trouble. And so what we have here, remember moments before we had a satanic takeover? Now we have a Holy Ghost takeover. And the person's soul is filled with meekness, forgiveness, gratefulness, purity, humility, obedience, serving, praise, sound mind, perfect love, and joy. Remember, in World War II, where the enemy would get behind enemy lines, and at night he would sneak out and he would light a fire and he would burn up the supply tent, or he would find other places that were important to his enemy and he would bring them down. And when the enemy saw those things begin to happen on their soil, they knew that there had been an intruder. And if we see things on the opposite side of these papers today, we know that there has been an intruder. But if we see these things in our life, we know that we have yielded to the Holy Spirit and He is putting the fruit of the Spirit in our life. Love, joy, peace, etc. And as you look at the scene before you today, before you leave, is there anything you need to confess to God? Is there anything that you need to ask God to take back the ground in? And is there a decision to need to be made to start building towers of truth in those areas? I don't know why, but it's always harder to build the truth than it is to build upon lies. But God will give you the grace and the courage, the boldness to build your life upon truth. And then, when Satan's bombs come bursting in air, when Satan's bombs and trials comes bursting in your life, you'll know that the Christian flag still stands. Is it standing in your life? Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning? I would like to give you the opportunity right now, just right where you're at, to confess anything to the Lord, any attitude that might be sin, to confess it to the Lord as such. And ask God to reveal times that you gave ground to the enemy, that you gave him a room. And would you right now ask God to take that ground back? And then would you go one step further and ask Him to give you the grace to build towers of truth, that you would have a right spirit? Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. you're making any of those prayers today, could I see your hand up and then down? Amen. Amen. Lord, you see these hands today. Lord, how great it would be if we were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, we do confess our anger, our pride, our bitterness, our jealousy, our rebellion, our iniquity. We confess it as sin, and we ask you to forgive us. And then in the name and through the blood of Jesus Christ, we ask that you would take back the ground that we have surrendered through these attitudes. And then, Lord, give us the grace to be able to build truth, to build forgiveness, and to build peace, and to build purity, and to build perfect love. All these things before us today, give us the grace to build it in our life. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks, guys. You can be seated. Many people don't realize what's going on in their life. They don't realize, you know, I never had a problem with anger. All of a sudden, I have feelings of anger that come over me. I've never had this problem of jealousy, but all of a sudden, I'm jealous. You know what has happened? They've given room. They've surrendered a part of their room to Satan, their soul to Satan, and he has come in and he's built a stronghold. Again, encourage people not to let the sun go down on any of those things that they are experiencing.
I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
Stephen Lowe, would you dismiss us in prayer?
Safe, and mercy.